So as I said in the previous video, the main challenge that we have when working from the wellness perspective is that our focus is really around prevention. And so in what that means from a motivational point of view is that we're not working with somebody who has had a set of experiences, got themselves into quite a lot of difficulty, and then are in a process of recovering from that. We are working with someone who has events like that in a potential future. When we sit down and we talk to somebody who is drinking a bit too much, for instance, we are talking to someone who has a potentiality to develop a chronic drink problem, become an alcoholic. When we sit down and talk to somebody who is overweight and gaining weight at a certain rate, then we are talking to somebody who has the potentiality possibly to become obese or possibly develop type 2 diabetes. We are talking about events that may or may not happen. Now, every individual has their own particular relationship to this idea of how they can affect future events and whether future events will occur to them. So if we think about it, like if we ask people, how likely is it that you will become an alcoholic from your drinking? There will be a group of people who will say it's possible. There'll be a group of people who will say, no, that will never happen. And there'll be a group of people who say, yes, that probably will happen. I can see that that's, you know, a path that I'm on. The same applies to pretty much anything that you ask people about. Their perception of this potential future or the potential futures in front of them will relate to other factors in their personality and who they are and how they think about the world, how they think about themselves, how they understand their own potential to change the future for themselves. And of course, there will be people who will use defenses. Remember, in previous part of this program, we talked about and looked at the different way that people defend themselves, usually in order to avoid feeling certain emotions. So those defenses will also get employed in the context of potential future outcomes for their lives. So, for instance, you might say to somebody, not when you're coaching them, but you might as a comment say to somebody, you know, do you know if you carry on smoking, you'll probably get ill and die or become unwell. And you do sometimes come across people who sort of say, it won't happen to me. And they will back that up and saying, well, not everybody dies of, you know, lung cancer or from smoking. And, you know, we'll cite the 85-year-old person that they know of or know their dad or their uncle or somebody who, you know, is 85 and still smokes heavily and, you know, he's been fine all his life. So we know that we all have this capacity to bring in defensive thinking, sometimes what seems to be magical thinking, in order to manage our relationship to future events, potential future events. So when we're working with people and we start working with people from this preventative place, there isn't a big often crisis looming. There's often a lot of functionality. There's often a lot present in their lives, which is perfectly acceptable that they're happy with and so on. So it's not as if they are being hurled forwards with some powerful motivation, trying to avoid jail or death or you know, imminent death or some other, you know, very powerful experience, or having their children removed from their care, or, you know, and so on. So there are whole varieties of ways that people will turn up to you in this context, and there will be different levels of motivation. But what we know is that it's a lot harder in a way for people to make the effort for serious change in their lives based on an event that they are not convinced or not sure or do not really anticipate happening in the future. So what is the best way then to approach motivational direction from the wellness perspective? And probably in my experience, what I've found is that the best place to look for putting your attention is not on trying to build anxiety for them, which is one of the strategies that we see a lot with people, you know, trying to warn them. So we can get drawn into sort of saying, well, you do know that, you know, if you carry on like this, you will, you know, become ill or become obese or become alcoholic or become mentally unwell or, you know, whatever it is. And the strategy of trying to frighten people, you know, is one that's used a lot, but nevertheless is not consistently reliable, i.e. it can work for some people for some periods of time, and it can provide some initial motivation, but it is unlikely to be sustained. Now, when people transition across a, some kind of threshold around a healthcare challenge, so for instance, there is a huge difference, isn't there, in the informational context of the person who smokes heavily and doesn't feel very well. Intellectually, they know this is bad for me, I might be getting lung disease or so on. So, and then they go to a hospital for a checkup and are told, actually, you have a lung disease. And so they've crossed over a sort of informational threshold. It's like they've gone through a doorway. There was pre-information and then there was post-information. And that will, of course, radically sometimes shift the emotions that they're feeling and can radically provide potential motivation for change. So what we are doing when we're trying to frighten people who are sort of on the one side of the door, which is the pre-information stage, we're trying to sort of evoke a post-informational emotional experience. We're trying to sort of, if you like, get them to imagine that they've been told by their doctors that they've got an illness, which they've got to take radical action around. Now, from a coaching point of view, we don't want to get involved in that, and that's something that we must self-manage out of ourselves. So if we're not going to take that route in terms of enhancing or focusing on motivation, where can we put our attention? And where you will find fertile ground is on the opposite side of the motivational equation, which is the running towards or moving towards aspect. And this is where we would be working with this client, if it's a new client who's come, you know, for predominantly wellness coaching, we would be able to put our coaching attention on those issues about their life on a larger scale. What is their life purpose? What has meaning for them? What do they have and hold as a vision for themselves, for those they care for? What is their work in the world? What is their unique gifts that they're bringing? What is the most important things for them? And so on. What we would want to do is create an environment that speaks to all the things that they are wishing to move towards or yearn to move towards. Now, the impact of that, of course, is to raise awareness of the whole of that person's life, the totality of that life, and those things that are most important to them. And in addition, what we may well see coming through quite quickly is that some of the difficulties that they are having in their lives around some of their behaviors, you know, so if it's the eating or the drinking or the, you know, working too much and so on, are responses to the circumstances of their life and are responses to their feelings about their life. So examples of that can be some people will bury themselves in a job and work too hard until it damages their health as a response to difficulty in their relationships at home or difficulties that they're experiencing being in their family situation. Primary relationship could be causing them trouble. So when we see that how they are presenting around their behaviors is joined up and linked to the totality of their system, then we begin to get some understanding of how, if they can reconnect with the things that have meaning, have excitement for them, that make them feel good and so on, then this will provide a broader and richer emotional context for them to connect with motivation. So often people feel that they are blocked in moving forwards, or they don't understand necessarily how to move forwards or how to make the changes in their lives. And so they try to manage their emotional world and experience around feeling blocked or not being able to make those changes by bringing in behaviors that alleviate those uncomfortable feelings. So by putting our attention on the meaning and purpose side of the equation, we are calling our clients forward back into the consideration of that and moving them away from analyzing the difficulty that they have. And we're also not falling down the hole in the road, which is about trying to build up a sort of scare tactic for them that is, you know, trying to ignite their fear and motivation. Now, I get asked from time to time, does that mean that we are not allowed to point to the consequences of some kinds of behavior that our clients show up with? So is it permissible to say to our client, are you aware of the possible health consequences of the behavior that you are having some difficulty with if you are unable to find a way to change it? Well, we can do that, but it's best done by simply looking at it from a factual point of view. So it can be simply to, particularly when we're working with the client, start working with the client, is ask them a simple question. Has somebody, i.e. a medical practitioner or somebody like that, their doctor, explained to them the pathway of the development of the condition? So has somebody explained to you what the consequences of, for instance, obesity is? And they are going to answer to you, yes or no. Yes, I have that information. No, I don't. If they say, yes, I have that information, you can just make a request to them if they could quickly, just for a couple of minutes, you know, set out their understanding of it so that just because you want to be able to make sure that you're both on the same page together. So in that way, you can find out if they have the information. If they have the information, it's tempting then, of course, to start going down a road of saying, well, if you've got that information, you know, why are you not doing anything about it? Resist that temptation and follow the course of action that I outlined shortly ago, which is to, having established, okay, they do have that information, then take them to the other side of the motivational direction, take them to the rest of their lives, what's going on in that, quality of their relationships, the quality of their fulfillment at work, career, whatever it is, and so on. So, and you will find that by deliberately managing yourself to not do what everyone else does, which is pursue that other line of inquiry, you will be able to more quickly build a much bigger picture with your client about themselves. You will help them quickly gain more trust in you because you are not reaching for the fear gun. Most people will be aware of some of the consequences of their behavior and are already managing some level of fear anyway. If it hasn't motivated them already, if they haven't sort of bounced into your office saying, you know, I got the shock of my life last week, coach, and I'm ready. I'm ready to make all the changes that I need to change. You need to, because I can tell that I'm about to, if I go on like this, the doctor's going to tell me I've got this terrible illness or this is going to happen to me. You know, there are people out there who can pre-anticipate that and will bring that as a kind of starting point for the coaching conversation. But if they don't do that, it means that despite having the information, they haven't joined up their motivational dots in that way, so it isn't their starting point. So you need to listen to where they are at motivationally and work with the positive side of the spectrum, the whole person inclusive side of the spectrum of their lives or the content of their lives, and focus on developing a set of good feeling muscles about what is going to be possible going forward for them in their lives. Quite often you will find that they will then start to refer back to their current experience of that they're trying to deal with in a way that shows that they understand that that problem needs to get solved so that they can fulfill some of these other exciting and important aspects of their lives.